Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is I hope you're planning to join us today at 4:30 p.m. Those that are able, please come and help prepare our sanctuary for a wonderful Christmas season. And then everyone is invited to join us at around 5 or 5:15 in the fellowship hall for a chili supper. We're going to do that after we get done decorating. We'll have some chili. And then we're also going to hear from Children's Hope Alliance, which you may know as Berriam Springs Home from Children. We're going to have a representative from named Lori Fees from there to come just to speak for a minute or two about what's going on there at Children's Hope Alliance. That'll be a lot of fun, so please make sure to join us this evening at 4:30. Poinsettia forms are available in the narthex. You can call the church office to place an order. If you'd like, we're offering 6-inch red plants at $7 each, and the deadline to order is no later than 9 a.m. Monday, November 28th, which is just around the corner, so be sure to get your poinsettias or poinsettias. I always am confused on how to say that. We'll collect the 10 cents a meal offering next Sunday, November 27th, during our morning worship. Great Stories of the Old Testament Bible Study is meeting next. We're not going to meet tonight. We are going to meet next week, December 4th, 11th, and 18th. So please join us for that. Paul Creek Elementary contacted us on Thursday to say they have 3 families that include 12 children that they cannot find a sponsor for their angel tree this year. If you're interested in helping them by providing gift cards to Walmart or Target, please let the church office know ASAP. We'll get them to the school soon. Thank you. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of the Scott B. McClure family members that have passed by. And that's by Corky and Susie McClure. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements? Yes. I'm glad you got that. That was on the top. I was supposed to said that first. Fellowship on the lawn is, because of the weather, going to be inside the fellowship hall today, not out on the lawn. So don't miss that wonderful time of cookies and drinks. Any other announcements? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Great is the Lord.
God has redeemed God's people.
Let the heavens shout with joy.
Let all the people celebrate God's awesome love.
Shout and sing praise to God.
For God has healed and restored God's people.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Finley. Let us pray. Lord of light and life, we come to you this day in celebration of the witness of your Son, Jesus Christ. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our lives to listen to his words for us. Help us to be faithful disciples of yours, listening and hearing and then doing what you would have us see, hear, and do. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and join me in our singing of our first hymn, number 65.
Barren land, I am weak, but thou. my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Devil, heaven, hell's destruction, land me safe on
full acceptance, that Christ Jesus bore our sin on his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Friends, 1 John reminds us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and remove from us any and all transgressions and uncleanness. So friends, in humility and in faith, let us go before the Lord, confessing our sins, using our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we confess. Forgiving God, how many times we have spoken words of commitment and faith and then turned our backs on those commitments to follow the temptations of the world. We wander after the false prophets of greed, selfishness, arrogance, ignorance, hatred, stubbornness, and then shout our displeasure about where we are being treated. We want you to come in and clean up all our messes, excusing us from any responsibility for them. Forgive us for such foolishness. Help us to remember the power of your healing love, which has been given for us. Forgive us when we think we know everything and then discover that we have behaved and thought in ignorant ways. Teach us to listen and to place our trust in your abiding power. For this is in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, by the water of our baptisms, we can know with certainty the great good news that the gospel puts forward, that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven forever and ever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven this day and forever.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Amen.
We now confirm what it is we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Confess with me our affirmation of faith found this morning also in our bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I've heard from you is about, as we do the Apostles' Creed, we confess the Holy Catholic Church. And some of you have wondered, and rightfully so, well, if we're confessing the Catholic Church, why aren't we in the Catholic Church? And it's a good question. That word Catholic, while certainly with a capital C, means the Catholic Church, like you would have a pope and priests and saints. But it is here used in the confession, or in the Apostles' Creed, rather, as another way, Catholic meaning universal. So when we confess that, we're confessing that we believe in a universal church. That is, that we believe that brothers and sisters in Christ who worship Jesus Christ in other denominations and in other expressions of Christ's church, that we're all somehow part of the same body of Christ on earth, that somehow, despite the divisions and the brokenness that we see, what God sees is one unified, holy, and universal church. Catholic meaning universal as well. I thought I would explain that this morning. And direct your attention now to singing of our second hymn, number 647.
Give thanks. Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
This time we'd like to invite the kids to come down for a special time with Mr. Mike. It's just for them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? Good. All right. I guess everybody by now knows what we're leading into this week, right? What are we leading into?
Thanksgiving.
And what's the special about that? Giving thanks to who? God. Who else? Family. Okay. Who else? People. Congregation. The church. Right? Okay. If I get my helper to bring in my prop. Okay, the first one, who are we going to give thanks to first, right? Who is it? God. All right, we got God. Okay, who else? This late right here. Who? Family? Good. Family, that's a big one. All right, who else? Family, friends, right? Friends. All right, there's another. Keep calling them out. Friends, okay. How about, let's see, who else? Who are we missing? Who else are we missing? The homeless? Do we want to remember them, give thanks that they're here, and that we're going to support them? Right? Okay. Because we're going to have a dinner for the folks, and we're going to have a presentation tonight, remember? So we're going to say the homeless, or the shut-ins, or the orphans, right? We're going to remember these, right? All right. Okay, so how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to prioritize it, right? And what I have here is a ladder. And a ladder is basically four components. It has the heel, the tip, the rungs, and the rails. Okay? Where will we put God? Anybody? At the top. There we go. Let's put God way up top here. So we got God right here. All right? We got friends and family. Where will family go? The next one? Okay. Let's put them right here. Okay. Then we have, I guess, friends. Friends? All right. We're going to put them right here. All right. And then we're going to have, you know, I shouldn't say it was giving thanks at homeless. That's not, but we're going to remember them, right, and honor them. Okay? So we're going to have them down here. Does that look about right? Looks right to you, right? Okay. Let's look at it a different way. This makes... If I can operate this thing, all right? Let's do it this way. Now, we got the ladder upright. Where's God? At the top. Sounds familiar. That's pretty far ways from you, right? Right? That's a pretty far away. Then what next is family? Okay? And then we got friends. And then we got the shut in, the homeless. We're going to remember them, right? We're going to give thanks to them. All right. How do you get to God without going across and stepping across these people? You can't. So we don't necessarily want to prioritize God, but we want to recognize God and remember him, that he is the ultimate goal. That's what we're here to achieve, is God and grace. So what I propose we need to do is maybe put God in all aspects. Let's put him on here. On the rails. But is that good enough? No. We're going to put God here. We're going to put God down there. Why are we putting God there? He is the beginning. He's the beginning and the end. Right. That's what I'm trying to get to. God is universal. He's everywhere. We just don't want to put him on a ladder and put him up top, and we can't reach him, right? We want him to be at our beginning, in the mornings, during the day, and at the end of the day. Okay? All right, will y'all pray with me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for this coming season.
Thank you for this coming season.
And thank you for everything you've done for us.
And thank you for everything you've done for us.
Thank you for the family.
Thank you for the family.
Thank you for our friends.
Thank you for our friends.
And that thank you for the people that we're going to honor this year.
Thank you for the people that we want to honor this year.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Leaning, leaning, leaning,
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word of God, hopeful and expectant that the God will be stirring in the power of the Holy Spirit as we do so. So join me as we make a prayer to the Holy Spirit for that movement. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray that during this time of reading and proclamation of your Word, that you would be stirring among us, awakening our hearts and minds to your presence, enabling us to hear what it is you would have us hear and know. And then most importantly, Father God, filling us with enough energy to see through what it is you would have us do. Gracious God, enable this time of reading and proclaiming of your word to be filled with your Holy Spirit's power so that we might arrange our lives in the way that you would have us arrange them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament scripture reading is from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 14. This can be found on page 595 in your pew Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies with you good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and injustice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For us, high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward us, toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are not, that we are dust.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, the Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 through 10. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's only been over the last couple of years that I've gotten a real sense of just how grateful I am to have celebrated as many Thanksgivings as I have as we did at my Aunt Judy's house. Now that she's moved into independent living, we're not able to do it anymore. But I come from, as it may not surprise you to know, I come from a family of great cooks. And as a result of that, Thanksgiving is, without question, one of my favorite holidays. Why? Because the focus, at a certain point, becomes about eating. And, well, I like to eat, and Thanksgiving's as good a time as any to do it. And like I said, I'm fortunate to come from a family with so many wonderful cooks. And the setup was always the same at my Aunt Judy's. My Aunt Judy would cook the turkey, which was always just this magnificent bird because my uncle, her husband, owned a poultry business. So he was able to source the most local, freshest heritage turkeys that you could find, and they were always incredibly tasty. And my Aunt Judy also did the dressing or the stuffing. There were two types, really, both heavy with nieces, sausage, wild mushrooms, and thyme. But one, the stuffing, as the name might give away, was cooked in the bird, whereas the dressing was cooked in a pan beside it. I'm seeing some people nod their heads. You may have heard of that designation as well, the stuffing or the dressing. Well, it got to the point where if you wanted some of the stuffing, that is the dressing that was cooked in the bird, you almost had to nudge your way in front of the little kids when they were getting their plates, because those little guys knew to get it to begin with. And then there was always the usual suspects on the sides. There were sweet potatoes heavy with maple syrup, green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, the fixins, the works. It was beautiful. And then came the desserts. There was a cornucopia of pies. There was chocolate and pecan and pumpkin and mincemeat. Oh, it was wonderful. As a matter of fact, my mom, being Ann, had gotten to ordering every Thanksgiving a particular kind of plate of dessert. She called it the Aunt Ann platter. And an Aunt Ann platter was a small slice of every single one of the desserts crammed on to the plate. That's just the way she rolled and does to this day. In fact, many of us, when we get time to order our dessert, will order an Aunt Ann platter. Because it is so good. But like I said, the food at my family's events are always so popular. But it was actually several years ago that I started getting an inkling that it wasn't just the food. You see, round about Halloween time, one of my kids became very agitated and wanted to know when we were going to Aunt Judy's. And at the time, this particular child's highest gastronomic delight wasn't anything particularly great. It was, in fact, chicken McNuggets from the local McDonald's. And so he was anxious, or that child was anxious about going to, I can't ever seem to do that. That child was anxious about going to their aunt's house, and I realized that child didn't care a whit about the food, maybe a little bit, but not as much nearly as they cared about being and spending time with their nephew, with their cousins and their aunts and their uncles and their extended family. You see, it wasn't always about the food. It was often about other things deeper that were below the surface, so to speak. We've got a sense in America right now that there isn't a whole lot of great Thanksgiving. I noticed it years ago when I decided to get a book to read to the kids about Thanksgiving. And what I was surprised to find as I was looking for that book was how few books had thanks directed toward anyone. It was all about being thankful. But to whom or to what was often opaque or not there at all. I finally found one that had the advantage of giving thanks to God, but it was that kind of generic, all-purpose God, not a particular God, not certainly a God that we know through Jesus Christ. And so it kind of missed the mark as well. You see, we have a tendency in America to extract the religiousness from religious festivals and then leave the rest so that we can make money on it. And Thanksgiving has certainly felt the onslaught of that. As we've seen the balance of power in holidays, so to speak, shift to Halloween and Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, we went into the Lowe's looking for a Thanksgiving decoration a few weeks ago to discover that those had already been relegated to the side or to the back. And there in mid-October was a complete delight of Christmas, all of the many snowmen and Thanksgiving. I mean, not a word of Thanksgiving was to be found in that store, as they were awash with Santa Clauses and reindeers and elves and everything already ready for the holiday Christmas season. Thanksgiving is often lost in the shuffle, as we understand. because we don't tend to think about God in our thanks. We tend to just leave it in that generic thankfulness, as in, I'm thankful for my work, or I'm thankful for my health, or I'm thankful for my family. But rarely do we extend beyond that to see the real blessing, as it were, in God. We tend to stay in the superficial, just like I did, thinking that Thanksgiving was always about food. It was always about something far more than that. It was always about a particular people to whom I was blessed to be able to gather with for so many years. The food was a nice trapping, but there was a deeper blessing going on underneath the surface. Just as there is a deeper blessing going on in all of our lives this coming Thanksgiving, we may be thankful for our homes and for the things that populate our lives. But what we're called to do is to be mindful and thankful to a particular God who's acted in a particular way that's known to us in and through Jesus Christ. That particular God is the one that we know. And it's okay to have some certain passing level of thanks to it, but we get a particular story in our New Testaments that I think is instructive on this matter. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus Christ encounters a group of 10 lepers. Now, lepers were found in this time as at the far edges of settlements. And there was a reason for that. You see, leprosy, or any skin disease for that matter, in the ancient Near East, was considered highly infectious and would see the rules of the Jewish community, at least, would see the removal of that person from the tents or the main life of the camp, as it were. They had to move out beyond and away from their families, out to the edges where they could only congregate with other people similarly afflicted. And so to be a leper in this time was to see not only your health imperiled, but it was to see yourself socially isolated as well. And so Jesus Christ, as I said in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, sees these men. Can you imagine their excitement as word would have reached their ears already that there was a peripatetic or a wandering healer that had the power to remove even the cursed leprosy that kept them separated from their families? That man was Jesus. And you can only imagine their excitement and their anticipation as they see him, as they look out across and see the man that could conceivably change their circumstances. They must have been overwhelmed with joy and anticipation, excitement, and the hope of being reunited to their families. They call out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." Jesus Christ quickly tells them to just go to their priests. I can only imagine how fast they would have run. You see, priests in this time were the necessary agents to clear you from your leprosy. Not that they would have the power to cleanse you of it, but that once you were through it, they were the person that would certify you were through. They were functioning in that regard, sort of like a doctor clarifying that your illness had passed. And so Jesus tells these men to run to their priests, and they do. They fly. You can only imagine, with the hope of reconciliation at their feet, how excitedly they must have pursued those men. And then getting there, lo and behold, they were cured. Their leprosy was gone. Jesus Christ had removed it. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but we do can imagine that 9 of those men, those lepers, went off and back to their families. Can't you just see them maybe fuzzling their child's head or chuckling under their chin for having been apart for so long? They would have eaten a good meal with their family. They would have thought about the days ahead and would have been quite content. They would have been exceedingly thankful. Make no mistake about it. To see one's life restored only inclines itself to a level of gratitude that they must have had. And yet the story then goes strangely silent on those 9 others, doesn't it? because it's not the nine others that we hear hide nor hair of for the remainder of the Gospel of Luke, or in fact the entirety of our New Testament canon. We don't hear from them ever again. They're gone. We hear from one. One moved, no doubt, by the feelings of thankfulness that extended beyond the normal, felt compelled to come and say thank you to the one who changed it all for him. He felt compelled to come and lay prostrate at Jesus' feet to say thank you in gratitude and humility. There was but one that did this. It's then that Jesus Christ says something that's really pretty odd. He says to the man, get up, your faith has made you well. But you see, we're thinking the man was made well when his leprosy was healed. And at some level he was. At some level there was a physical healing, but it wasn't the greatest blessing. Just like those meals at my Aunt Judy's house, they weren't the greatest blessing, were they? The greatest blessing was being gathered around a particular people for a particular time of joy and sharing and caring. The particular blessing of Jesus Christ that came to this man was one that was so necessary to thank him for that the only motion he had was to fall at his feet in thanks and delight to Jesus Christ. And that's what our thankfulness at Thanksgiving is designed to do as well. The things that we're thankful for, the jobs, the health, the families, those are but pointers to another thing to which we are to be ultimately thankful for, as Mike so rightly did with his ladder. The one we're ultimately thankful for in all things and in all ways is God. And as we find a way to access that, we can find that gratitude is the fuel on which we can live lives of amazing faithfulness. When we're grateful to God for a specific gift or blessing, that's wonderful. But when we're grateful for the one gift and blessing that he shared with us that can never be taken, that's in fact kept safe in heaven waiting for us, that's the language of 1 Peter, then when we get that gratitude, we simply know that we are the Lord's and that nothing can be taken from us. That's the blessing of thanksgiving. And this one leper that sees and knows what's going on comes back to Jesus and falls at his feet. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the ones that know and recognize that Jesus Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection has atoned for our sin, has broken the cord and the power of sin over our lives, just as death has been eradicated from the equation. We who are Christian die, but we die to live to new life. We don't die forever. We are celebrated and loved by that God, Jesus Christ, who has been made known to us through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who speaks to us in that still small voice, who reminds us that we're beloved children of God, who come to us and remind us that our thankfulness is not just for the things of this earth. We're not just thankful for our jobs and for our homes and for our families and for our health. And while we are thankful for those things, what we find ourselves ultimately thankful for is to be the sheep of a good flock, children of a great and awesome God, the beloved of the Almighty. That's who we are. That's who that's what we are, and no one or nothing can ever take that from us. No one can ever steal that, nor will it ever rust or go away. It is, as I said, kept in heaven, safe for us forever and all eternity. When we find ourselves this Thanksgiving becoming thankful, I pray that our thanks will extend beyond the immediate, beyond the pumpkin pie or the chocolate silk pie, and into something significant and great, into thankfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has removed our sins by his precious blood, who hung on the cross so that we would live eternally in the peacefulness of the everlasting kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to a time in which the word is sealed in the sacrament of Holy Communion. We come to this table invited by none other than Jesus Christ, and we are invited simply because we are the beloved children of our God. We come trusting and believing that this God is at work among us in the power of the Holy Spirit. We come broken and yet thankful for the many blessings of our lives, thankful for the many ways that the Lord Jesus Christ shines upon our daily lives, thankful that we are His children. And so we come before the Lord and we make this prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks, as it is our right and truly our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then in the fullness of time, you sent your great love, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal us and to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, O Lord. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and the needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious act in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this fruit of the vine and joyfully celebrate his dying and raising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in this, in us, and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And we conclude this prayer with the prayer Jesus taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This morning, we have in the baskets three types of bread. One is regular, The bread that is in the muffin tin is gluten-free. And then we're still placing some of these sealed communion cup and wafer pieces for those who are concerned about germs. Is the body of Christ broken for you? Ginger, this is the body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you, Connie. The body of Christ broken for you, Dale. It's the body of Christ broken for you. The cup of salvation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this sacrament. We thank you that you've fed us through it, both spiritually and physically. And now, O Lord, as we prepare to depart from this sanctuary after the giving of our tithes and offerings and hearing of the benediction, we pray that you would use us as the mighty tools of your evangelism and love so that we might witness to this world of your amazing generosity and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures, hear me low, praise him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the many blessings in our lives. We thank you, O Lord, for the material blessings that you give us, that we return a portion to you now, hopeful and expecting that you'll use it to bring about your purposes in this world. Heavenly Father, so too do we thank you for the people in our lives. And we remember before you, especially all of those names that are on our prayer list, as well as remembering Tommy McClure and Pat Hagar before you. We pray for them as well as all the people that are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, just asking that you reach them with what's needed. For all, O Lord, those people that we've prayed for, either now silently in our hearts or whose names are on our prayer list, we just pray that you would meet them with everything that they need. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being this day and forever. Amen. 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 Well, we come now into a time where we prepare this last week before Thanksgiving. And I know there's lots of preparation to be made. We got to decorate the church tonight at 4:30. Don't forget, get a little chilly afterwards, right? And I mean food chilly, not cold, right? Right? So come tonight at 4:30 and help us decorate and get some chili and then hear about the wonderful work that's going on at Barium Springs. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Can you get to it? Can you get to it?